Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hudson.
Hello and happy Friday. Thanks for downloading today's podcast on August 14th. Coming up, residents are concerned for their health because of dust from work on a new development, and hear from the Gillingham boss ahead of their first League Two game of the season. But first, dozens of people have been left out of pocket after a swim school run by a former international athlete closed suddenly. All About Swimming Limited, which operated at pools in Wilmington and Cobham, was run by former Commonwealth Games swimmer Angela Wilson. Our reporter Charlotte Phillips has been covering the story and joins me now with more details. Charlotte, how did people first find out about the insolvency?
So last week, customers were sent an email stating that the business was technically insolvent and would cease trading by the end of that week. And then an application was made to strike the company off the register and dissolve it this week.
And I understand you've spoken to some of the people affected.
Yes. So after the email was sent, a WhatsApp group was created for all of the people who've lost money, which now has almost 60 members. I've spoken to more than 40 people who say that they've lost money, which comes to more than £10,000. One woman, Jackie Ryan, told me that she'd lost about £130 for lessons that she was supposed to have at the pool in Wilmington next month, and says that she believes customers are owed a proper explanation. There has been a lot of criticism about the fact that no email or apology was sent, and people have been left without answers.
Now, have we had a response at all from Angela Wilson?
Yes, so Angela told me that the collapse of the business was sudden and that she did not deliberately take money for swimming lessons she never intended to provide. She said that she understands that many families are upset and angry and has apologised to those impacted.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. A man who led police on two high-speed chases around Dartford and Darrenth has avoided jail. A court heard how Nicholas Jebb reached speeds of 80 miles per hour and drove the wrong way at roundabouts to try and escape from officers in August 2023. He was found with a knife when he was eventually arrested. The 36-year-old from Pucknell's Close in Swanley has been given a suspended sentence and a 2.5-year driving ban. A teenager has been taken to hospital after being pulled from the water on a Kent beach. Emergency crews, including the Coast Guard and air ambulance, were called to Hythe Seafront yesterday afternoon. We're told the teen's been taken to the William Harvey for further treatment. Crews have been busy battling two separate wildfires in Kent. They broke out in Benenden near Cranbrook and High Holden near Ashford yesterday afternoon. Local farmers used machinery to help tackle both blazes. Now, people living in a village near Sittingbourne say dust from the building of a new development has left them fearing for their health. 300 homes are being built at Ufton Court Farm outside Tunstall. Residents have been telling us about the impact work is having.
Well, it's really frustrating, to be honest. It makes you feel anxious because the dirt's coming indoors, the furniture's getting damaged.
And you imagine most building sites have an 8-foot high wooden fence around it that wouldn't stop all the dust, but it would have a good barrier and stop some of it. But if you look there, there's just this wire mesh fence in that stops absolutely nothing.
You can't have the back door open, you can't have any windows, you can't sit in the garden. It's, every day you're wiping windowsills down and furniture down, it's horrendous.
To come out, this noise, all this dirt and dust all the time, is just hell.
Sudden there was just a wave of dust came into the house and I just sat and cried. It was just so upsetting, and that was it. I just started to send emails off to Environmental Health Planning.
Swale Council and KCC say they'll monitor the situation closely. Developers have apologised and blamed the hot, dry weather. They insist they have appropriate measures in place to minimise disruption.
Kent Online reports.
A care home in Dover has been placed into special measures after residents developed unexplained bruising and signs of dehydration. Inspectors found systems to monitor, investigate and report concerns were inadequate at Temple Ewell Nursing Home. Bosses have been ordered to make improvements. water companies in Kent have been given the green light to hike bills to fund infrastructure investment. The regulator has provisionally approved a package of £3.4 billion. Kate has more for Kent Online.
Ofwat says 13 providers across the UK will benefit from funding designed to improve resilience in the network and protect the environment. It'll also address rising demand linked to house building and the development of data centres. As part of the investment plan, companies will be allowed to increase bills. Southern Water will be going up by £37. Thames Water customers will pay £5 extra, while South East Water's increasing by just £1. A public consultation is running until September 24th.
Residents in part of Thanet say they're appalled by a decision not to pursue a prosecution over tree felling in their village. Pictures show how dozens of mature trees were cut down from a wooded embankment along Canterbury Road in Sarr in 2023. Emails seen by Kent Online reveal the Forestry Commission originally wanted to take the landowner to court, but they missed the two-year deadline, so dropped the case. Bosses say the complaints process is ongoing. One of Kent's oldest village sub-post offices will close next month after almost 180 years. Chilham Post Office is believed to have first opened in 1850 and has been running from what used to be a sorting office attached to a house in the street. The building is now being sold. Royal Mail are looking to relocate the service to another retailer in the village.
Kent Online News.
People in Chatham have been responding to government plans to make it harder for betting shops to open in our high streets. Currently, council's powers to refuse new bookies are limited if they meet licensing requirements. However, new rule changes would see that scrapped. Chatham High Street has 8 gambling outlets covering just a third of a mile. That's the highest concentration in the towns. These people have told us what they think of the proposals.
Having betting shops and all these barbies and all that, you don't really need them, you know.
It's very easy to gamble. It's very easy to get into debt because of gambling. So, there should be crackdowns. The laws should be a bit stricter.
The council should do a lot more, not sounding like a record, more scrutinising.
You bring the children out with you to do shopping. There is not much left.
You know, let's make this place clean and safe for everybody.
Let's hear now from Vince Maple, who's the leader of Medway Council.
For too long, there have been the ability for not very good shops to set up in a way which I think most people would say don't add value to our community. I'm not against the principle of having a vape shop or a gaming centre or bookmakers, but when you've got a proliferation of them, and I think you can look at actually towns across the region of Kent and Medway and see too many examples of that. And often the council and indeed the community can feel powerless.
The measures will reportedly come into effect by the start of next year. As temperatures hit 30 degrees again today, we've been hearing from the manager of a Kent youth club about how challenging this summer's been for staff and children. An amber heat health alert is in force across Kent and everyone's being urged to stay out of the sun. The Zone Youth Club is based in the pavilion at St Peter's Recreation Ground in Broadstairs. It's run by Victoria Suchak. She spoke to me earlier about the impact the heat is having.
It's exhausting. Our staff are really struggling. Because it's difficult to work for sort of 4 or 5 hours a day in that heat. although we're a tiny building, we can't afford to have proper aircon. We bought a little unit, which I've had to send back because it was hopeless. So the reason we're in this building is because we have the benefits of the park, which is a big outdoor space. But with this heat, we're struggling to use it, as we've always done. So we're having to tell children to stay in the shade, to drink lots more water. We've bought little UV bracelets, which alert them when, you know, the UV rays are strong, which is pretty much constantly at the moment. So, you know, we've had to buy additional sun cream. But the responsibility of, you know, making sure that they're not running around like crazy in the hot sun, not getting sunburned. So there's that responsibility for, you know, for young children that we have for them. It's an additional pressure. And also, because we can't use the outdoor space as much, we're having to do more activities in the shade, under the trees or indoors. And it's restricting their energy, their kids, they want to play. So we're struggling to keep them entertained. But we're managing, we're fine. The kids are obviously having a lovely time. They don't really understand. We're having to think a lot harder.
Yeah, I mean, tell me about this sun policy that you've brought in as well. And you know, those kind of practical measures you're taking to make sure children aren't, you know, suffering.
Yeah, well, exactly that. So just the responsibility of keeping them safe. Young children don't necessarily understand the dangers of the hot sun, of the UV rays, and that they could get burnt. And some of the older teenagers as well saying, well, I like the sun, I don't mind if I get a bit sunburnt. It's like, okay, but there is a reason why you shouldn't get sunburned. You know, the long-term effects are obviously extremely serious, and they don't necessarily understand that. And we're not their parents, we're not teachers, we're youth workers, but it is our job to keep them safe. So this sun policy really just outlines, you know the procedures that we have, which is making sure that they've all got sun cream on, wearing a hat, drinking lots of water, taking regular breaks in the shade, and stuff like that. Yeah.
And I imagine that comes at a bit of a cost as well, you know, having to buy all that sun cream and as you mentioned, yeah, buying an aircon unit as well, which yeah, didn't make much difference. But, you know, you're having to kind of fork out for these extra things.
We've started to think that maybe we do need to invest in a proper air conditioning unit for the building. But we're talking hundreds, if not possibly, we can't spend thousands on it, but, you know, at least a few hundred pounds is going to come out of our budgets, which we don't have. So, you know, we'll have to do a bit of fundraising or we'll find a way of paying for it. The thing is, we don't want the children indoors. We want them outside. We're a tiny building. So, you know, when you've got 25, 30 children turning up, we can't cope with them indoors. It's too much. The whole reason we're there is because of the park. So what we want is to stop climate change.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, a lot of the experts are saying this is going to become the norm, these hot, dry summers. And that is a concern going forward, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, we're lucky in that the park is a beautiful park and there's lots of very big mature trees all the way around the edge. So we use nature as our sunshade. And it is obviously quite a few degrees cooler under the shade of the trees. So we do benefit from that. But we shouldn't have to. You know, and also we have concerns about, you know, the danger of fire. It's a very serious concern. We're a wooden building, and it's a big open park. The grass is dead, is bone dry. And if there was, you know, even just at the flicked, unextinguished cigarette or a tin can left on the ground, it could go up. And that is a real worry. It really is. So it's causing a lot of anxiety for me.
She's hoping people will wake up to the dangers of climate change and take action. Bosses in Ashford have announced plans to place solar canopies above the Civic Centre and Stour Centre car parks. More than 1,500 panels would be installed on the 26 canopies at the site off Station Road. The council say they would be used to power the Stour Centre with any excess sold to the national grid. And there's good news for drivers as Operation Brock is going to be removed from the M20 one week earlier than planned. The contraflow system's been in force between Maidstone and Ashford since July 14th to deal with summer holiday traffic. It's going to be removed overnight this coming Sunday.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and Gillingham get their League Two campaign underway this weekend. Their opening game is at Priestfield and they'll host Walsall. It's after a disappointing loss to Luton Town in the Carabao Cup last weekend. Speaking to reporters at this week's press conference, manager Gareth Ainsworth says he's confident they can bounce back.
That was not us, and I'm hoping you'll see the proper us this Saturday. And yeah, I'm excited, looking forward to it. It's the league campaign. I've said, you know, judge me on this. This is the plan now, and I want you to see performances. I want you to see a different team of Gillingham that you haven't seen for a few years, you know, because really I inherited a lot of players, you know, and you can change styles slightly, but you can't change personal attributes. You can't make someone quicker. You can't make someone cleverer or braver. And I believe that I needed to do that with a few players last year, and I couldn't. And I've definitely made them more robust. And the players I've signed have got different attributes this season round. So I'm hoping you'll see performance difference energy difference. I can't guarantee results, but they're a byproduct of those other things, and you get a lot of good results when you do those things right. So that's where we are, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
How are you sizing up Walsall? Looks like maybe a similar level of sort of squad churn for them.
Yeah, very similar, and obviously new manager Lee Grant, he's come in. He's put his stamp down on the team. They did well against Bristol City in the cup. You know, I watched that game, and yeah, they had a lot of defending to do and a lot of possession against them, but they held out. You know, the keeper had a great game, and they took their chance when they got it. You know, they had a couple of chances. I think the Bristol keeper made a quadruple save at one stage early on in the game, and then they had another chance, and I think that was about it really. All the chances then went to Bristol, so which they're going to do, you know, the championship side. So but they held out very astutely, very well. You know, they picked up an injury during the game. They've got a couple of shape changes in the bag if they need it. Yeah, it's League Two. It's what we do. But I don't want to analyse the opposition too much and worry about them too much. I want to worry about what I've brought in the building, what we can do, and that's what we'll be focusing on a lot this year.
I think there's an understanding from the fans that, you know, there is a lot of new players in this team, but you know, you're saying as well you don't want them to be patient.
Listen, it's brilliant that they're giving me a little bit, because yeah, obviously everyone's got to gel, everyone's got to connect, and everyone's got to start to get to know each other. But I asked for patience last year, you know, and people were ironically saying, 2 year plan, what's that all about? And it was about getting everyone who's my player. And the likes of, you know, your Robbie McKenzie's, they're my players because I renewed his contract very early when I came through the door. So they're my players, yeah. But some of the ones I had last year weren't. And I think that, you know, with Nelson going on loan now, I think there's probably only Ethan left from before I came. And by the way, he's not under threat. He's a good player, Ethan. I like Ethan. But the majority I wanted to do, I've done, and really, really pleased with where we are. Everyone is signed under me and is my player, and I will stand by that, and I will live and die by that, which many managers do. And I'm hoping there'll be a lot of living, not too much dying on that. So
we've also been hearing from Gillingham defender Andy Smith.
All really excited. Obviously disappointed with the game on Saturday. Weren't quite at the races, and Luton were a good side, to be fair, but you know, we've put things right in the week in training. And yeah, like I said, the boys are all raring to go.
How prepared are you feeling, say, in terms of this pre-season compared to last year? What's been the main difference for you?
Obviously, there's a few new faces, and a lot of turnaround at the club in terms of players and whatever. So, you know, it's just almost been getting to know the new faces, building up partnerships. And yeah, it's just been a really positive pre-season. And yeah, like I said, just buzzing for Saturday now.
Just in terms of some of those new faces and, like you say, partnerships at the back, what do you make of the likes of Liam Gordon and some of the younger defenders coming in so far?
Yeah, I mean, Liam's been brilliant since he's come in. Adds a real voice into the back line. And yeah, he's been great. As of all the lads that have come in, you know, I'm not going to name them all, obviously, but I'm really looking forward to this season. I'm feeling really positive about it.
Kickoff tomorrow is at 3. Herne Bay have been ordered to play an FA Cup game again after a breach of competition rules. A substitution issue has been identified in their extra preliminary round against Broadfields United last weekend. Herne Bay won 6-1, but will have to replay the match next Tuesday. Dartford's Emily Newnham has won a silver medal in the 400-metre hurdles at the European Athletics Championships. She thanked her mum in an interview after revealing she'd been in hospital and was unable to come and watch the race. The 22-year-old ran a personal best in Birmingham. Elsewhere, Kent's Dina Asher-Smith picked up a bronze medal in the 200 metres. She was beaten by fellow Brit Amy Hunt, who took the gold. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. While you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.